Sort of got your mania side going.
Cutting myself. Yeah, I know. Cutting myself off. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally, with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way, including palindromes.
While also being nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
Cascadia? Not a palindrome.
Not a palindrome. Today we are talking about just some old bullshit.
That's right. It's, bicycles, transit, and simpler living?
Oh, yes. Today, I'm sorry. Yes.
And today.
We are the show that talks about bicycles, trains, transit, and simpler living. And today, some old bullshit.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. As long as the form is correct. It's also important for palindromes.
I didn't have the script card on me.
No, it's okay. So we were just talking about palindromes. I've become obsessed. And so at the very end of the show, I'll put in the audio where I rattled off a bunch of them and annoyed Aaron to no end. That sounds like it should be a palindrome, but it's not.
Annoying Aaron to no end. No. Doesn't work.
A palindrome, for anyone who forgot, is something that when spelled
Come
backwards...
Come on, everyone read Otto is a palindrome.
When spelled backwards is the same as spelled forwards.
Yes. Yeah. And there's whole sentences out there.
Enormous ones.
Yes.
Really long ones.
Giant ones. So I'll admit some people got really creative.
Yeah. Well, the size of some people's palindromes is impressive.
Yes.
It can't be denied.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you drinking?
Hey, I'm drinking a Detroit classic, Faygo root beer.
Oh, spray it all over me. Just kidding. We're not juggalos.
For the juggalos, yo.
And I have Session Lager. I made a determination with myself.
I want to get some clown paint now.
Ooh, yeah. Well, you're already dressed in black.
That's true.
You just need the white paint.
I just need the white paint.
Yeah. I think someone in Colorado that I met was talking about how ridiculous it is when you're drinking beer to drink water that was trucked halfway across the country for you to drink, and how local beer is the answer to that problem. And so I am drinking a Session Lager, which is from Hood River. Where I just was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think I was telling you earlier, not that there's much more of a story than this, but we fit 14 people into a hot tub. Ugh. And I am convinced, first off, that you would not have enjoyed that.
I would not have enjoyed that.
You're not a touchy-feely person. And neither am I, really.
No.
But I am a hugger.
I'm imagining this is a few in.
Well, yes. The everyone was very happy.
Yeah.
Inebriated.
Yeah. No one was feeling any pain.
I felt pain because people were on top of my leg. You know, you get a dead leg after, like, you know, something has been on you for a while.
Sure.
Yeah, that was, yeah. Right. Fortunately, people are buoyant in water and you can move them easily.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. No, I'm fairly convinced that the full potential for fun and laughter contained in a hot tub is not experienced until you try and put as many people into it as you can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's comfortable. It feels good when you're in it.
Yeah.
But.
Well. Yeah, I guess my counter argument to that would be, are hot tubs really made for fun?
Depends on who you ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I realized as I asked that question, a little part of me going, well, what kind of fun?
Well, yeah, and sometimes you don't want to know about the fun that was had in a hot tub. So,
right.
Yeah. I'm happy to say none of that kind of fun was had in the tub that I was in this weekend.
Hey, Mom. Thanks for listening.
That's right. This is a show, by the way, in case it's not evident yet, where we do not have a guest this week because this is our, quarterly step back and just
reevaluate life.
Yeah, it's like we're resetting our own chemistry between ourselves.
Yep.
Just in case it ever goes away.
Every now and then, listeners, you just got to look yourself in the mirror. And you just got to say, am I doing the right thing? Am I living life to its fullest potential?
Yeah. That's what this episode's all about.
Right.
Yeah.
I was trying to go somewhere with that, try to find a punchline, and I wasn't getting anywhere.
Oh, I could look up a palindrome.
No.
Okay.
No.
It was really...
We've got a show to do here.
Okay, that we do, yeah. Well, we were going to talk about a little bit about the tour because we only had about 10 minutes last time.
Yeah, I had to really get into it. I had to get back to work.
Did you get back to work on time?
I did.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. Congratulations.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Yeah, through the rain and the sleet and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, it was nasty.
It was a wet
night. I feel much better about leaving tonight.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even a little bit later.
Yeah, this week in Portland, the clouds have parted.
The clouds have parted and everyone's freaking out.
Everyone's clothes are coming off. There are, and Portland being perhaps one of the whitest towns, there is a lot of just pale flesh exposed to sun. There's going to be a lot of red people running around.
I wear my sunglasses not so much for the sun, but for the glare I get from everybody else.
Of the unfortunate suntanners.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it was one of my favorite podcasts, Ham-Fisted Radio. Yeah. I was listening to that on bike tour in 2012, and they posited the idea of a website called PortlandPutYourShirtBackOn.com. maybe it was a Tumblr, PortlandPutYourShirtBackOn.tumblr.com. I don't know that it exists yet, but if it does, let us know. If it doesn't, start it now.
Somebody, please. Yeah.
Because really, there are so many instances in town where that's the first thought. Portland, put your shirt back on.
Yeah, look. Yeah. Yes, I know we're like the naked city and everything, but you know we don't have to be.
Right.
Let Paris have it for a couple years or so. You know.
Paris. Are they all naked there?
I don't know.
I thought that was the Riviera.
I just picked like
just France in general.
France. Yeah, that's all I got.
Sounds like the sort of thing those frogs would do.
We're going to get so many letters from all of our fans in France now.
That was for satirical
no
purposes.
Listening to
yes,
this.
Exactly. I refuse.
Yes. Shit, this podcast.
you
Americans and your silly podcast.
We could not necessarily argue with that. This is a ridiculous show.
This one in particular.
Yeah, is. Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you pop open a bottle of Faygo.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So one of the things that happened on our tour that was really cool was the very first night we camped out at Half Moon Bay and we met, it was what, Kelly and Peter.
Kelly and Peter. Let's first just touch on the Devil's Slide.
The Devil's Slide.
I was talking myself up for this. I was both excited and scared.
You were nervous about the Devil's Slide.
In equal parts.
Number one, it's a slide. Number two, it's the Devil's.
Yeah, yeah. And well, we saw that film. And it made it seem steeper and faster.
Right. There was some guy with a GoPro on his helmet or something like that that rode through the tunnel.
Right.
Made it look kind of exciting.
It was a blast. I would totally do that again.
Yeah. And then on YouTube, one of the recommended videos was this conspiracy theorist who thought that there was an underground network of highways that some trucker was driving into.
How did that get onto the Devil's Slide? I don't know.
Very curious. I don't know. I wish I did.
That was like one of the top ones.
But maybe I don't wish that I did. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyways, that's a beautiful tunnel.
So, hey, mole people out there, if there is a secret network of tunnels.
If there are any mole people listening right now.
Can you let us know?
Yeah.
I want to get into your club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kelly.
Yeah.
And Peter.
Yeah.
From the Dope Peddlers.
Peter was a super cool, exuberant guy, and he introduced himself to us as soon as he rolled in.
Yeah. That was like, I'm always nervous whenever there's other people at the hiker-biker camp.
Right, right. And I realized like how maybe other people feel when I roll in and introduce myself to them, like, hey, what's up? Tell me everything.
See,
so,
yeah. And yeah. I mean, you're just a friendly person. You like to, you know, make friends mm-hmm. where you go.
And to be fair, so is Peter.
And yes, yeah. Very much. You're both fairly gregarious people.
Definitely.
Whereas I roll into a bike camp and I set up my tent and I hope nobody watches me.
Don't speak to me.
Yep.
Don't even look at me.
Yep. Don't look at me.
Let's go over there. Yeah. And Kelly is a bike mechanic. Both of them are, let's see, they have the bike club called the Dope Peddlers.
The Dope Peddlers, which is... At first, I was like, hilarious, Dope Peddlers. But I really like thought about the name, and I thought it was pretty clever.
As in, these peddlers are dope.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with illegal transport.
Nope. Not
so far
on
as we
website.
Know. Yeah. Yeah. It's super cool, folks. And the cool connection was they have all these rides that they do, and they end up at various bars around town. Apparently, there are messenger bars in San Francisco. We did not go to any. But
we did not go to a single bar in San Francisco.
That's right. Yeah, which I suppose is kind of sad, but at the same time, we had burritos and we had coffee.
And friends.
And friends. So really, we did almost everything you want to do.
Yeah.
We even got our picture taken in front of the Golden Gate Bridge, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we got really, really tired by climbing in hills.
Yeah. What was it? The Presidio?
There's the Presidio, and yeah. Then I think, I feel like the Presidio is adjoined by another hilly region with a different name. But before you, between the Golden Gate Bridge, and did we talk about this last time, about how effed up the entire interchange was with bikes? If you don't want to go across the Golden Gate Bridge,
good luck. Like everything we tried, it still drove us across.
Yeah.
Or tried to drive us across the bridge.
It was the default setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we had gone kind of inland a little bit, we were tracing the coast like as far out as we could possibly be to look at the water and to feel cool about ourselves and everything. But there's some construction going there. And so I think the place that would usually take you underneath the bridge to continue on bikes, it's either in a different place or it's under construction or both.
Yeah.
But we ended up carrying our bikes down some old bunker stairs on a path that was technically not for bicycles.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
That was rough.
Yeah. I remember getting a glare from, I don't know if it was a security guard or some official looking person in the park.
Oh, really?
As we were getting up to that part, you know, it says like no bikes.
Yeah.
Like you and Adele dismount and I'm not pedaling, but I'm just like kinda still letting
in.
It coast.
Yeah.
In. Yeah.
And the, and the ranger didn't like it.
Nope.
Yeah. So we made it out anyways. It worked out all right.
Yeah.
But the other cool connection was that Kelly she works for Mission Bicycle Company. They are building the Lumen, which is the retro-reflective bike that is being coated with retro-reflective coating from Halo coating. And our friend Josh from Boston, Josh Zissen from Bike Safe Boston, has been pioneering that coating and its reflective properties in tons of wonderful accessories for bicycles. And now, just accessories... Actual bikes. Yeah.
And if I recall correctly, he had it on his glasses?
Yes, Josh did.
Yeah.
He had retro-reflective glasses. I think almost everything he owns lights up when you shine a bright light at it. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, the cool thing about retro-reflection is that it does not look, it's not like neon green, like a safety vest or something.
No.
It looks like whatever you want it to look like in the daytime and at night. And then when bright lights shine upon it, like car headlights or, you know, somebody else's bike light or something like that, anyone else using a light to see their way through the dark will easily see you because everything in it lights up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if I asked Josh when I interviewed him at first, because there's that stuff that I feel like there was a paint that people put on their license plates to try and confuse red light cameras and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
To make it harder to get tagged for a ticket by a camera. It doesn't work. Yeah. Exactly. And I think Josh said that it wasn't the same thing.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, we wouldn't use her for that because that would be wrong. I don't even own a car.
I was going to say, what license plate would I put it on?
It painted on all the cars to go as I use them. Just carry a little fingernail polish bottle in my
little
pocket.
Little by little, every car to go is going to have some retro-reflective paint on it.
Right, right. But that would be wrong. We don't advocate that.
These are jokes, folks.
We're making jokes, yes. So anyways, that was cool. And they were also they were game day players with the firewood. They were sharing the firewood that was there, and they pitched in on the firewood when we bought another bundle. So
yeah,
yeah. So Peter and Kelly,
did we share some of the food with them?
I hope so, but I think not.
Yeah, we shared some of the beers though. I think.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If not, Josh. Ah, shit. Sorry, Peter, Kelly, get in touch with us.
Yes. In fact, yes, if you come to Portland, we will buy you beers.
That's right.
Definitely. So, yeah, anyways, that was fun. Roger, the Bike Through China book?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we mentioned...
He's got a book out.
Yeah, we mentioned that we met up with listener Roger and donor, monthly
chickens.
And his five chickens. He is an author of a book. He's done a ton of China touring. He was over in China doing some touring. Yeah. And enough so that he has enough experience to write a book about it. So I found it on Amazon.
And Taiwan and where else? Hong Kong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the one that was a penny. And I believe with shipping it came to $4.
Whoa.
So Yeah, there were more copies than I expected to find because he made it sound when we were talking to him like it's definitely out
like
of print.
Bookstores just torched them.
Right.
Like, oh, this isn't selling. Throw them in the fire.
Fahrenheit 451, folks. yeah, it worked out very nicely. They are there. So we'll put a link up to that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. If you guys, even if you don't plan on touring through China, you know, it's a good read.
Yeah. And I
say
believe,
this before reading it just because I know Roger and he's a well-spoken man.
He is, definitely. Yeah, he's
he's got some
he's
good
stories. At English.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's good at other languages as well because he made his
apparently
way through all
so.
These countries. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, that guy had so many great great stories.
We need to get him up here as a guest sometime.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I've got it here on the internet now. It's called China by Bike. It's by Roger Grigsby. So we'll put a link up to that, definitely. Yeah, but it was kind of cool just to meet a published author.
And that was Santa Cruz.
Yeah, he lives
in
Santa Cruz.
Stop number two?
That was our second night, yeah.
That was only our second night. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, because we discovered the hard-boiled eggs that morning.
That's right.
And we were talking about it with Roger, and he's like, I've got
eggs.
Do you
have an egg box?
If you've got a way to transport them without cracking them.
We did not have an egg box, but...
might be worth looking into.
Yeah, totally. No trace, not one carton. That's a palindrome.
Oh, damn it. I was like, what are you talking about?
No trace, not one carton.
Get off that site.
So what about Hurricane Carmel? Because we talked about staying with RJ, right?
Oh, sweet mother of God. Did we talk about? Yeah, we did.
Yeah. That was your brother's friend who...
I talked to Dan about that, too.
Oh, what's the aftermath?
Oh, he was cool.
Okay.
He really liked us.
We didn't turn him off to bicycle tourists worldwide?
I don't think so.
Oh, I hope not.
At least not to us, anyways.
Okay.
Which is really more important for me, anyway.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, no. My brother talked to him via the social networking things that people use instead of actually talking to people.
Right.
And yeah, he really enjoyed our stay. He thought it was really neat that, you know, we wanted to hang out with him.
Oh, good. Well, that's reassuring.
We think it's really neat you let us hang out with you.
Too bad we couldn't have said that earlier. Yeah. So we knew about it at the time.
Right.
But no, that was, it was really nice of him.
He didn't go like, oh, your brother's an a-hole and so are his friends.
Well, yeah, to be fair, I think you were not being an a-hole.
I can attest to that. Not to
you were
be
nowhere
an
near
this time.
You put on your best clothes.
I did.
Your hoodie.
I put on my hoodie and my clean shoes.
That's right.
The ones that didn't smell like campfire.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did the classic. I guess it's just a
you
sponge
had a button
bath.
Up.
Yeah,
you had a button up shirt. You combed your hair. Yeah.
But after what was it? 3 days at that point of being out on the road and whatnot, I was quite proud of the fact that I think I cleaned up really well with just Dr. Bronner's and a washcloth. I didn't even shower.
I probably didn't need the shower, but it's like, you know, once you clean the canvas off, you know, I'm
then you
ready
to start afresh,
right,
with a new painting.
I'm ready for fresh coats of dirt paint.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, that's a decent analogy. So that was fun, but staying with him,
it was cool. It ended up really well.
Yeah.
But then it was raining a bit when we got to his place, and it was raining a bit as we were leaving, going down Carmel, and I had broken my derailleur cable.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I basically coasted.
Yeah, we were just spinning down the hill to the grocery store.
Bottom chain ring up front.
Yeah, so Adele goes in to buy groceries for our next couple of days, and you and I are out there. You're fixing the cable, and
right.
I'm holding your
under
bike stable.
Zero shelter.
And yeah, and I mean, there probably was a shelter somewhere, but the rain was coming down sideways in Carmel.
Yeah, there was no way we could.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what we need to talk about?
What's that?
Speaking of Carmel, the like three times we ran into the same two dudes.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Whose names I cannot remember now.
Shelby is one because we emailed each other because he's going to be up in this area at some point and we're going to buy him beer. And I forget his friend's name. Was it Joe? I think it was Joe.
Maybe.
But I could
it's
be wrong.
It's a more common name than Joe.
Yeah, we met them at New
guys,
Brighton.
Guys, if you're listening, call in, correct us.
We're sorry. Yeah, no, they were great. And we bumped into them so many times, but they were like super minimalist.
Yeah.
Because they were from farther south in California somewhere, I think, and just up for like spring break or something like that. And
yeah, and they were saying, like, they started in San Fran too.
Yeah.
And just trying to make it as far south as they could in mm-hmm. 7 days.
And like, basically, not no maps, but they didn't really have directions. They didn't have any sort
They're
of route
like,
picked
yeah,
out.
We're just going to follow the coast.
Going south, yeah. And virtually no gear. Like, they had sleeping bags and a tarp, I think.
Yeah.
We were talking about the finer points of how to set up a tarp shelter. Like, they had just bought it the day that we bumped into
That's
them
right.
in Monterey.
That's right. They're like, should we make a tent out of it, or should we do, like, more lean-to
yeah.
style? For my 2 cents, I said lean-to. But
And you were a scout.
I was a Boy Scout, and yeah. I'm adept at building lean-tos, or was at one point.
There you go.
I didn't make it very far in the Boy Scouts, though.
No, it's all good. And you don't need a lean-to because you just got a tent yourself.
I just bought a tent
Congratulations.
Today. Yes, thank you. A two-person Kelty.
Which translates to one person.
Which translates to me and my stuff.
Yeah.
Especially the way I was packing on this trip.
Right, right.
I will never do that again.
Well, one step at a time.
That's true.
Yeah. I notice you're wearing shorter pants than usual.
I'm wearing short pants.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Because there's a giant yellow orb in the sky heating things up.
Yeah, it's making things hot. It's kind of weird. I don't know what to do about it. That was kind of funny going, because we basically caught the best weather that California had to offer while we were there.
And worst.
And well, but I think it was worse after we left, maybe.
Oh, really?
Because there was the shower. This is what we were going to talk about, was Carmel, yeah. as we were leaving that and going into Big Sur. Really heavy rainfall.
Yeah. To
but
the
it
point
was,
where like everybody that we had talked to was like, it does not rain like this.
Right, right. Yeah, it was really interesting to see California and to think about drought. And I can't remember if I talked about this last week or not either, but I was reading the book about Phoenix, about how like it's the least sustainable city in the world, recommended by the guy from whom I stole the pretzels on the train. And they've got a lot of water issues and water access issues down there in Phoenix, but it's interesting to see it making its way up to California as well.
Right. Well, California has been fairly dry for a long time too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, particularly the southern parts of it. Mm. Okay. Yeah, I was actually just listening to the podcast with Arnold Schwarzenegger on The Nerdist.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Good interview, by the way.
I'm refraining from doing my bad Schwarzenegger impression.
It's true. You have one. Yes. But he was talking about how it's... okay, there it is.
There you go. It had to come out. It's otherwise, I would have a brain tumor.
He's actually really... It's not a tumor.
Oh, shit. I can't believe I did that.
I'm sure there's a palindrome for that. No, the thing was, he was super like self-effacing about his accent. Like, he's really open and honest when he talks about acting and whatnot. And it's yeah. a big piece of like kind of how it shaped his acting career. But also, as the governor of California, he was talking about where most of the water is in the northern half of the state. Most of the people are in the southern half of the state.
Okay.
Easier solution, I think. But a lot of energy is spent piping water from the north half to the south half.
Mm.
Also the Colorado River, I believe.
Maybe the people in the south half should not live in the south half.
Maybe the people in the south half could bring all the trees and water from the north and just like permanently relocate them to the south.
Mm. Yeah, that might be all right.
It seems like there's still an easier solution, but I can't think of what it would be. Anyways, it's it was really fascinating to see the rain. So, yeah.
And
when
it just
we were
dumped buckets,
it did
as we were leaving Carmel.
Yeah, dumped buckets on you as you were fixing your cable.
Yeah,
and we weathered
but
it.
Then even after that, though, like
yeah.
as we were entering into like the more wilderness parts of things, did we talk about having to?
Yeah, I think we talked about
the barn.
Yeah,
we did. Okay.
We discovered the barn out in the middle of
Big
Sur.
Right. Yeah,
it was actually before Big Sur, but good place to hang out and wait for the rain to stop.
Met a couple hikers trying to get out of the rain too.
I was really amused. We talked to Kevin in Carmel. We were hanging out in the Starbucks waiting for the rain to go away. And we talked to him for like an hour or something, right? But he was kind of a bikey guy and had done some riding and do some racing or travel at
he
least?
He did some travel.
Okay.
He mentioned biking, I think even with his son at one point.
Okay. Yeah, because we sat down at the table and he asked us what we were up to and we're like, oh, bikes. And he was like, oh, bikes. And we talked about that for a while.
He's not the guy that came out as we were locking up and was like, are those touring bikes you're riding?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
No, he had a cool hat.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
But I have this bottle that I found for free, this water bottle that I found for free in Boston when I was there last winter.
Oh, yes.
And it says Financial Engines on the side. And I didn't know what that was. I figured, you know, everybody has bottles that they put their brand on for, you know, brand awareness and whatnot. And so I picked it up and took it with me. Also, I think the current carabiner that I'm keeping my keys and bottle opener on is the one that was attached to that.
Oh,
but
okay.
I pulled the bottle out. I was going to fill it up with water. And the guy's like, oh, my friend owns that company. So
right. That
was pretty hilarious.
Right. He mentioned, he asked if you had like any connection to the company at all.
I was like, my connection is I found this on the sidewalk.
I found this in the garbage.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, free boxes.
Free boxes are the stuff.
Let me tell you about free boxes. There are good times and bad times.
I bet there's a lot out there.
Yeah. Yes. Well, ironically, it would be called dumping in many places. But you put a free box out in the rain, nobody wants that shit.
Nope.
Nobody wants that.
It's tainted forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Portland, look at the weather map before you put out your free box.
And yeah, I'm all about the shared economy. I'm all about giving stuff away, especially if someone else that walks by could use one.
The current saddle on my bike was a free box find.
Was it?
Can you believe that shit?
Oh.
It's one
I had
of
no
best,
idea.
It's my favorite saddle that I've ridden.
Yeah, you've had good things to say about this.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So the thing about a free box is you have to tend it. You can't just throw it out on the sidewalk and forget about it because eventually people take the good stuff. They leave the bad stuff behind because each free box has both. And then, you know, and then the stuff either like is picked up by the person who conscientiously comes back to check on how his free box is doing or hers. And the other way is to just leave it out
it
there.
It just rots.
And it's gross.
Yeah. No. You got to take that stuff in.
Yeah.
If it's not gone by the second day, it's not going to go.
Mm-hmm. A used mattress leaning up against a telephone pole with free spray painted all over it.
Oh,
nobody wants
tell
that.
Tell me you took a picture of that.
No, that was like a couple of years ago. There was another one.
Okay.
There was another one like right after we got back from Boston this year, I think, in my neighborhood. And someone had left a note on it like, this doesn't work, folks.
On the way here, coming up and over Lincoln, because I was like rolling through downtown a little bit today. Coming up and over Tabor, going down Lincoln, I saw a sign that said free with some arrows pointing to it.
Uh-huh.
And I looked over there and there was nothing there. So there's free another
space.
Thing. Like, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was like the bricks that this retaining wall was,
yeah,
was
yeah.
built from or whatever. But yeah, another thing. If you're going to make a sign that says free, once all that stuff is gone, take your sign down.
And don't complain if someone takes a sign because it does say free on it. Yeah. No, but the one that I was thinking of, the mattress that I had seen had
yes.
been out there for maybe like 2 weeks at one point. It was a couple
obviously
years ago.
Got rained on then.
Got rained on a lot. And at that point, it is just dumping. And maybe this is just a Portland problem. I don't know how the free box scene is on other people's. I remember going to Boston for the first time and it was trash day and people just put like all the stuff that's being thrown away out on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
I went out on trash day and I was like, shit, there's free piles everywhere. But they weren't. I mean, I guess technically they were free piles,
I mean,
but that was
once
just,
it's on the side of the road, it's public property.
Just garbage collection
yeah.
day. So chalk one up to learning. So anyways, yeah, there's that. What places did we not go? I was trying to remember because I wrote that down.
The bars in San Fran.
That's right.
I think
right.
we had a lot of high hopes for San Fran.
Yeah.
And there was a donut shop in Santa Cruz that we were supposed to have visited.
That's right. Yeah, Adele was kind of excited about that.
Yeah.
There was the Coconuts and Trouble place.
Toast.
This American Life traced down the origin of the toast craze, the artisanal toast craze. And
we didn't get any artisanal toast either.
I know. I feel ripped off. To their credit, This American Life had a great episode about that.
Yeah.
And the story was great. That's why I wanted to go. But at the time we got down there, we still had 30 miles till Half Moon Bay. And we still had to go over the Devil's Slide.
Right, yes.
Lived on decaf, faced no devil. That's a palindrome.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other places. The thing with at least me rolling through Big Sur, I loved it. It was beautiful. I think I was telling my brother this because he was like, just tell me everything about it. What happened in Big Sur?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I biked through it. I didn't get hit by anything. I didn't fall off a cliff.
Good story.
Yeah. It was beautiful. It was amazing. I just wish I wasn't so afraid of heights.
Yeah.
And falling off of high things,
mm-hmm.
that I could stop and appreciate it from time to time. And also just like wanting to make good time from point A to point B, you know. I think the first day I decided to break away and not take as many short breaks or as many long breaks. Is that right? As long of breaks.
You just kind of pressed on. Yeah.
Yeah. I just kept going. Yeah, I had a really good time doing that, but realizing like I kind of sacrificed like all this sort of sightseeing stuff.
Sure.
That you and Adele got to do. But anyhow, what was I saying? Yeah, it was beautiful. It was wonderful. I'm not even aware of any place I should have stopped because my goal was to just not die, basically.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, here's a place we didn't go. And this will segue nicely into the other thing I wanted to bring up because I think it's interesting and useful for people to know. We didn't go to 7-Eleven to buy a cheap pizza.
That's right.
And
yes,
we had talked
about this a lot.
Well, you were really excited about the idea of having a pizza at the train station.
Yeah, but to be clear, I was...
It wasn't the pizza.
It wasn't the pizza.
Yeah.
It was getting food somehow like delivered to us at the train station.
Yeah.
Like at one point I was attached to the idea of our friend Trent calling his, like we would call his restaurant, you know, that he manages over there.
Right.
And having him like, you know, send somebody with a pizza.
Exactly.
I don't know. Like somehow in my head, I translate this to us looking like high rollers, I guess.
Like, oh, look at those guys got food brought to them.
These guys are important.
Seriously. Yeah.
They look and smell like shit, but
they have white gloves.
Somebody delivered stuff to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about this was that we had talked about the possibility. And then at the last moment, we had had the pizza at Trent's place as we were showering, cleaning up, getting ready to leave
delicious.
Town. It was great. And so I think Adele and I, aside from you, had decided, oh, we don't really need the 7-Eleven pizza.
Right.
And so
I was even thinking, like, I don't really want pizza.
Yeah.
Like, as I'm showering.
Right.
Which is probably about the same time this conversation is taking
exactly.
place.
Yeah, we were having probably about the same thoughts. Yeah. And that pizza was so good that like the shit pizza from 7-Eleven
right.
just didn't seem as appealing
no.
at that point.
No.
But the thing is, at that point, once we had talked about that between ourselves, we just kind of laid that verdict on you as like, well, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I think we even did it in motion or something like
yes.
that. Like as we were
like
riding the bikes.
While we were rolling.
Yeah, yeah. And it was interesting because it... reminded me that Adele and I have done this together a lot, but we haven't done long tours or figured out how to communicate with people about just about very basic things about like how your day is going to go,
sure.
what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. We're not as good at communicating with anyone who's not part of, you know, the dynamic we've set up that allows us to kind of like make decisions very quickly when we know
right.
what our assumptions
well,
are.
I think there's a number of things that you guys have going for you. There's the amount of years of experience you have being a couple, and there's the amount of years of experience you have touring together.
Right, right.
And it sort of, yeah, it lends itself to this dynamic where you guys don't even necessarily have to hash a lot of things over from time to time.
Yeah.
You know.
Kind of like nod at each other.
Yeah,
all right, let's
yeah,
go.
Yep. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's important for us to share this with people because what we learned was that like touring with different sets of people lends like different dynamics and different like you have to work that much harder at making sure everybody's happy with what's happening.
Well,
and that you're getting
not
everything
necessarily
communicated well.
Happy.
Content.
Because, I mean, you can't please all of the people all of the time.
Right.
But certainly, at least communicating, like, yeah, sort of what is going on. And I don't know, there's a certain element, I guess, of group processing, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we all have to sit down and, like, really, again, like, kind of consciously hash things over. And, well, how do you feel about this? Well, how do you feel about this? And
not that would be a bad thing, but you don't always have time for it.
Well, right. I mean, there's a time and a place for that kind of stuff, too. But when things are working well, and when sort of the group consciousness is working well, like, you have this dynamic kind of like what you and Adele have, you know, shared over maybe a few more people. I think, yeah, so one of the disadvantages of the closeness that you guys have is that
you
are able to make these understandings without really needing to communicate a lot with each other. And some of these things are just automatic. Like, how often do you guys talk about how to tear down and set up your tent?
At this point, example? Never.
Right.
Although the first time we did it was hell.
I still talk to myself as I do this.
It's true.
You know? Yeah. I'm sure you hear me. Oh, God damn it. Why didn't you do this?
Exactly. Yeah. But I think it's important because everyone, like, the common narrative is that bicycle touring is awesome, which it is.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking great.
It's also really important to talk about, like, the times when it's hard to do it with other people. Like, the times it's hard to do it on your own are one thing, because that's, like, physicality and, like, your own state of mental resolve or morale. But how it is when you're maybe you or I are feeling, like, beat down and worn out and out of energy and maybe emotionally depleted or something like that, and then try and, like, throw two other people into that mix. That's a pretty...
Who are also probably emotionally depleted.
Yes. Yeah, and haven't had enough water. Mm-hmm. That's a tricky situation, and it's not that's a bad thing, because that will happen to anyone who travels together inevitably if you're doing some sort of, like, wild or wilderness sort of travel.
Sure.
But it's good to have those stories out there, I think, because that gives a more balanced perspective. So
yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't even lay it all on you guys. Like, you know, a lot of what was going on wasn't even necessarily about, like, I mean, it was about wanting to be part of, like, the decision making process, but also I think comes from a certain self consciousness I have when I'm constantly comparing myself to other people.
Sure.
That, you know, for, you know, just for all intents and purposes, like, I look up to and want to sort of, I don't know, aspire to that kind of, like, level of performance,
okay,
so to speak, you know? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's
sure.
It's all weird.
No, but that's, like, I mean, that's the sort of thing that everybody has their own internal process as well.
Yeah.
And making sure that your internal process isn't outpacing or running over the group dynamic is, like, that's something that all three of us had to do at some point or another on the trip. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I just haven't heard a lot of people talk about it, so I think it's good to get that out there and make sure that people know that you will be a better person if you bicycle tour.
Yes, and if you do it well and you communicate with your group, you will be a more solid group,
right,
in the end as well.
Yeah, if you do the work, you'll get the payoff.
If you build it, you will tour.
That's right. Yeah. Why pay $50 for gloves? That's the one thing that you had mentioned.
Why the fuck do I pay $50 for gloves, America? Why should I do this to myself and to my family?
How many gloves have you bought at $50 a pair?
One.
Okay. Because I've bought, like, three.
Okay.
And lost two.
Okay. Look, I know bike gloves have their place, and bike gloves are great and fun, you know, when they have their function. But here was the thing I discovered. My hands felt more sore when I was wearing my gloves in Big Sur. And those are the gloves I like.
Yeah.
These aren't the $50 ones that I hate.
Those are the ordinary $3 gloves.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So here's something funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of $50 gloves that I hate. So those gloves I originally bought to get me through, like, these Portland winters. What is the characteristic of Portland winters? Rain.
Yes.
What do these gloves not help me deal with and protect my hands from? Rain. They turn into giant sponges.
Ah,
why
yes.
did I buy these damn gloves? I didn't even read the label carefully enough, apparently.
Well, it's kind of a bummer, right?
I mean, it said water resistant.
Right, but that's a far different thing than waterproof.
Yeah, and in Portland, water resistant doesn't mean a damn thing.
Mm, yeah. Well, yeah, and in Big Sur, when it's coming down in sheets, it also does not mean a damn thing.
Anyways, well, I didn't even use these gloves. I left them home. I left the $50 gloves at home. Not because I wanted to protect these gloves, because I hated them already.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
I hated them like by day three, and the only reason why I didn't take them back was because I felt bad, because I already wiped my nose with the terry cloth.
Oh, right, part. So that would be a refurbished item if it was returned.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Those terry cloth little patches, the little snot patches on the gloves are amazing.
Oh, I love them.
I use them a lot.
There.
I'm not going to lie.
So that's why I would buy maybe not a $50 pair of gloves, but like, you know, a $20 pair of bike gloves.
What if you got like a ShamWow or something and you cut it into little tiny strips and pieces
little
and
triangles
then you sewed it onto gloves that you bought for $3? Yeah. You could do this.
This is true. Yeah. I can sew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at Big Sur, while it was coming down in sheets, what was I wearing? I was wearing these $20 half finger gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And then underneath that, these military surplus $3 wool gloves.
Just like thin wool liner gloves.
My hands were fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was wet.
Yeah, right.
I was warm.
Yeah. And warm and wet is better than cold and wet. There's a big difference
damn
between
skippy.
The two. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of like, the socks that I wear that I love so much, my darn tough socks.
Yes.
Those things, I was wearing them. No, I was actually wearing my thicker smart wool socks, I think. But I was wearing those and my sneakers, which are, they're sneakers, so not waterproof at all. Didn't do anything to try and make it happen. I just let my feet get wet. But wool keeps your feet warm.
Yes.
This is public education for the people.
And now you know, America.
Yeah.
Just go buy some military surplus gloves. You know, they're a little bit itchy at first. You'll get used to it. It's fine.
Not that we're telling you to go buy gloves. Saying you could go buy gloves.
This is my own internal dialogue talking to myself.
There we go.
Yes.
Good to clarify. How's it going, X-Ray FM? So the answer to the question why I pay $50 for gloves is
why do I do this to myself? Anyways.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, it's a different question. I thought it was the reason being maybe that
to
you
drive
have,
the economy.
Oh, sure. To rebuild America, maybe. Also because you have expendable income. You have $50 you don't really need.
Right.
Okay.
Because I have such a lucrative job that I have $50 that I could just spend on a whim.
Right.
That was the thing.
You spent that on bike shipping.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. So did I. Grumble, grumble.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Although getting free boxes, I would say the running and getting boxes, that did cut down our shipping costs by $30.
That did.
So I don't think it made it more fun. But
well, it made it there's different kinds of
made it more exciting, yes.
You know, with a little bit of planning, I would almost prefer, other than the fact that like I have to cart a box along with me, but I would almost prefer to get a free box like that and tear down my bike.
Sure. Yeah, and you're pretty comfortable with that, so it works out okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you build it from the frame up, you
That's
get
true.
Pretty intimately aware.
That's of true, yeah.
How everything fits together.
Let's see. There was another thing I was going to say about boxes, and I don't remember what it was. Oh, I was going to write a letter to Amtrak.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't done that yet.
Hello, Amtrak.
Yeah, I love Amtrak. I am disappointed with how many bicycle boxes they had for sale in San Luis Obispo the day that we were there.
One singular box.
Yeah, yeah. And I was trying to figure out what would be the best way to bridge that gap, work through that problem. Like, is there a way that we could say, call the station and, you know, will you have
like
boxes available
boxes
this day?
We would like time.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Kind of like you can reserve the hooks on the Cascade train, something like that. But
well, you know, if they just convert to having hooks on all of their trains.
Right, which the Surfliner is on the way towards, as we heard. Yeah, which would be great.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Was it Alan was the station worker that was taking care of us at the counter? Nice guy.
Oh, yeah, the station workers were great. They just didn't have what we needed. Yeah. They're like, I'm sorry.
Well, he was the guy that was like a week to retirement or something like that.
Okay.
But, you know, that can go one of two ways. Either they can be like, fuck it, I'm done. Yep. I don't care about anything.
Riggs,
or you can
get
be
in this stuff.
Yeah, or you can be really like friendly and like, you know, I've had a good life. I've enjoyed my time here at Amtrak. I'm about to retire. So yeah, that was that. That's how Alan was.
Yeah,
and Alan's a good guy. Couple of things that I thought we should mention just so people know about them. The Twitter trend, hashtag replace bike with car. And there's also a link to an article here that that shows like some of the best ones. This is thing that happened on Twitter where you make statements about the things that people say about bicycling, but you say it as though it was about driving a car. For instance, I drive to work more if my employer incentivizes driving. Or, I'm proud to donate to the Community Driving Center, helping kids get an early and safe start to driving. BuzzFeed article, the 15 essential pieces of gear you need to buy before you commute by car.
I love this.
Yeah, yeah.
I love this.
You're not a member of the League of American Drivers? You should be. They're working for a car-friendly America. Driving my car is not only a good stress reducer, it's great exercise, too. I don't oppose car lines. I drive a car myself, actually. I just don't think it's safe to put one on my street.
Yes, cars are not safe to put on your street. I agree with that one wholeheartedly.
You drive a car? Car drivers sure break the law a lot. The other day, someone in a car ran a stop sign on my street. Again, hashtag replace bike with car.
Replace bike with car. I love this.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. There's a whole list of them. And how do you guarantee these car lanes won't gentrify my neighborhood? The controversial car lane claimed an entire lane of traffic. Car drivers are always in the way. And let's see, where was the other, somewhere there was someone about like a lady that says like, oh yeah, I take my kids in my car, but I only drive them in the park.
Oh.
So anyways, yeah, there's some subtle humor being made here, which I think is funny.
Yes.
Yeah, and somewhat provocative.
Well, and I think it underlines sort of the absurdity of our car-centric consciousness.
Yeah.
That I fight so hard against.
Mm-hmm. The Aftermath documentary, Joe Beal is making a movie about critical mass in Portland. That is coming up very soon. And I wanted to make sure I knew what the date was and that sort of thing. The screening is going to be at Clinton Street Theater. It is May 23rd. 2014. So if you would like to go, you can go see this fantastic documentary. We're going to have a little short blurb from him. I'm going to stop by on the way back from work and you might meet me. We'll see how the schedules work out. But get a little last minute fill in from him on the documentary and what we should know about it. Film by Bike is coming up so soon. That is what, the 19th?
19th, 20th, 22nd.
Yeah. I was on the jury, so I'll be there, 22nd. Of course.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you like watching movies about
sworn
bikes.
It started on a Friday last year.
I might have. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
It's been slightly different every year. For example, this year, they're having a storytelling event.
Yeah.
MC'd by the Metal Cowboy, Joker Maskey himself.
So. And Dan Kaufman's going to be at one of the storytelling events, correct?
Is he? He might.
I thought you said he was.
Oh, we're going to be talking to him, and I think we rescheduled because I wanted to go to that.
Because
he might
also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he should definitely go if he's not a guest.
Yeah. In other news, next week, Dan Kaufman.
Next
or is
week.
That what? That's 2 weeks. Anyways, it's close. Lenny Anderson. We listened to his records. He was our former.
They were really cool.
Former guest from a couple months back. We had just gotten back from camping in January. And he was waiting here at the door, and I felt bad for keeping him waiting. But great interview. If you haven't heard it, you can go back and listen to it at thesprocketpodcast.com.
Super nice guy.
And yeah, he'd stopped by as the Vinyl Fairy the other day and dropped off two folk records that he had produced. One is more folk, and one is more, I think I had compared it to Harry Chapin.
Yeah.
But
well, I don't know. Harry Chapin's kind of folk, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all in that singer-songwriter vein.
Definitely. One was more like kind of bouncy bluesy sort of like produced, and the other was more like kind of protest songs and harmonica and acoustic guitar, both great. And
I totally geeked out on the Off the Press,
because it there was a lot of digressions about ink choices and that sort of thing, and you have some background in printing.
Yep. I totally nerded swatches. Out was telling you about Pantone mixtures, all that.
Yeah So there's tons of inside jokes that you got that I did not. So I'm glad you were here to help me explain them.
Sure.
So we're going to have Lenny back at some point, and he's going to play some songs for us.
He better.
And tell us some stories about his travels. So last thing that I wanted to share was the possibility of a new studio.
We're moving.
We're moving.
We're moving, folks.
Yeah, and the studio and my house may part ways. We don't have it all dialed in yet, but thank you for waving at my house.
I don't know why.
The nice thing about the studio being somewhere else besides my house is that I think we can set it up a little bit more to a professional sounding studio. Like, you may not hear the 5-0 as you did in this episode rolling by.
But you may hear a train.
On a major boulevard. You may hear a train. We may edit those out. We may leave them in for character.
Yeah.
But we have a place that's yet to be determined, yet to be announced. We'll tell you more about that.
Undisclosed location.
Comes. Yeah, but we are working with Steph Routh from the KBOO Bike Show and Lily Kerbeck from the Bike Portland podcast and the IPRC, and both great people, and we are excited to be...
That's three people.
Oh, so...
Oh, wait, you said Lillian from the IPRC.
Oh, right, right.
Like, Lillian and the IPRC. So, anyhow.
Yeah, we're working on putting together kind of like a little cadre of people working... To bring more transportation themed things to the people.
Yeah.
And this will allow us to have, you know, consistent space to record and that sort of thing. And really excited about it. So just want to let you guys know that's coming up. The other part of that.
A new day is coming, folks.
Yes. The other part of that is that we're looking into underwriting for the space itself. And that underwriting might show up on the show as a, you know, thank you to so-and-so for helping us have a place. Or thank you to so-and-so who does such and such.
Thank you to BP Oil for making this
That's
show
right.
possible.
We're selling out, folks.
Thank you to Ford Motor Company.
But the reason I bring it up is just because I want... we are famously not advertising people. I was going to say we're not advertised, but we talk about ourselves in other places on the internet. We have not sold advertising to anybody.
No.
We never sell spaces on the show. And we don't talk about anybody we don't agree with.
Right.
So
we've talked with people from various shops, or we've talked with people who, you know, maybe, I don't know, subscribe to a certain type of biking or bike equipment. But
yeah,
nobody, like, we've never... like used any kind of like ad. I wouldn't call that advertising anyways.
Yeah. They might refer to it in the industry as a consideration. Nothing we have done has been for consideration.
Right.
We're not receiving like free samples of whatnot. I don't think we have. We might have. Not to the point where it would be like valuable or sponsorship or something. But the reason I bring it up is just because we have people who right now have been donating to us, and we wanted to say thank you so much for that. We are not officially a nonprofit. And you can't write off your donations to us, but they're also they're all it's not huge like donors right now. We have grassroots support from people who are kicking in a couple of bucks a month and saying, "Hey, thanks for the show," and
yes,
we greatly appreciate that
very much. So,
just wanted to let anybody who's listening that that does contribute financially to the show that this is coming up, so you don't feel like the rug is pulled out from under you if you don't like the way that the underwriting goes. And we hope that's not the case. The people that we are being underwritten by, hopefully.
And feel free to speak up. Like,
yes,
if you have some suggestions or some maybe some trepidations about this, we would love to hear some kind of feedback about that.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And again, like you call it the Fugazi principle. We don't work with anybody that that we don't agree with, that we would not personally use ourselves.
Right.
So
Fugazi is sort of legendary for not interviewing with magazines or publications that they would not or have not themselves read. So like people like Rolling Stone, or gosh, I don't know if they even did. I'm pretty sure they didn't go into Spin either. Like any of the major publications, just because that's not in their purview. That's not what they would read.
Yeah.
Never really got interviews with them.
So anyways,
but anyhow,
yeah,
we, in that mindset, like, we would not support a product or shop or whatever that we would not ourselves frequent.
Right. And I'm not going to name names, but anyone who listens to a fair number of podcasts knows that there's a network of businesses, mostly online businesses, who offer services, which are great services. And I mean, the podcasts I listen to, I might support those businesses because I like the show, but we're not, you know, we're not getting in because, partly because, you know, when you hear an ad from one of these companies, which I won't name, you know that it's just one of many podcasts that are shilling for this enormous organization. And what we're hoping for, even if we do get underwritten by an enormous organization, is that they will be an organization that we know about, like, and can recommend wholeheartedly. So,
ladies and gentlemen, the Ford Motor Company really appreciates that you like bicycles.
Exactly.
But also would like you to consider the new Ford Taurus.
Easier to fit your bike into than any other car.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We're not represented or endorsed by Ford Motor Company.
No.
Nor BP Oil.
I use this as an absurdity for entertainment purposes only.
Satirical content.
Yes.
Anyways, just wanted to let people know, in the interest of full disclosure, and because we love you folks for listening. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
Do be in touch. Well, hey, should we do some headlines?
Yeah, why not?
All right. How about that? We are a show.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. It circles around the city lights.
From Bike Portland, the Orange Line might secretly be Portland's biggest bike project ever.
Stealthy.
Don't tell anyone. The 7.3-mile light rail line opening next year through the South Waterfront, Southeast Portland, and downtown Milwaukee will, of course, build a new car-free bridge across the Willamette, the biggest such crossing in the country. But even if you don't count the full $135 million budget, the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail project will also include more than $40 million in bicycling and walking facilities on nearby streets. For comparison, in 2008, the city estimated the value of its entire bikeway network at $60 million. It's likely that this investment is the largest in the U.S. related to a light rail project, estimates TriMet spokeswoman Mary Fetch. I've never heard anything comparable, agrees Roger Geller, Portland's bicycle planning coordinator. This is going to change travel patterns in a really big way. Jeff Owen, TriMet's active transportation planner, said he's eager for Portlanders to start enjoying a vastly improved set of bike connections just south of the city center. This is really the exciting part, he said. They can see the large bridge. What they have no idea is that there are miles of bike and ped facilities that are being built as part of this project.
I love this. Just that it's...
They have no idea. Don't tell the bicyclists.
Well, it's funny because this has a lot in common with the Columbia River Crossing project when they were going to try and replace the I-5 bridge between Vancouver and Portland.
Oh, yeah.
And how a lot of the hidden costs of the CRC and why people were so upset about it is because a lot of those included expansion projects for vehicles on the freeways.
Right.
Bigger cloverleaf interchanges and on-ramps and off-ramps and that sort of thing. And and that was going to tear up a bunch of neighborhoods. The nice thing about this is that this hidden bike infrastructure that no one really knows about, or I mean, people know about it, obviously, but people think about it as a bridge project, but also there's all these amenities that are coming in. So it's almost like this is the good for the CRC evil or something
right.
like that. So I am stoked on that.
The CRC is this bridge's evil twin.
Right. It's like the doppelganger.
Which the bridge has yet to be named, right?
It's really soon here. They're going to come up with one of the names. We shall see. Again, my submission, Feeling Groovy Bridge, not accepted nor not, considered no. for the end.
It wasn't even one of the front runners there.
No. Well, let me give him one of these, just a little Max Bell there.
Right on.
Hey, you know what else we got?
We got mail. Hey, we got mail. Hey, that's the classic recording.
That's yes.
Nice.
Just that's for the longtime fans.
That was the original version. From Jamie, I remember getting my first adult bike. I was 13 or so, and we were going to get mountain bikes because those were the cool bikes at the time. I remember it was time to choose a bike, and I only looked at the men's bikes because I heard the women's ones were inferior, and I did not want to get a crappier bike. The store clerk didn't refute this, and I left that day with a black diamond frame with 15 speeds and a narrow seat. My mom left with a cruiser with a wide padded seat, since the bike shop owner pegged her for wanting a woman's bike.
Assumptions.
I like the idea of a women's store, but what I don't like is that all the women's athletic gear is pink with flowers.
Kind
of
like Maria.
Yeah. If going to a store aimed at women means I can cut through the annoying BS, I'm all for it. Going to many bike stores is like going to a computer store as a woman in the 90s. The people assumed you didn't know a floppy disk from a CD-ROM and treated you accordingly. If you throw out some jargon, then suddenly you are worthy of being treated with respect. But if you don't have the jargon or the experience using it, it is hard to be comfortable in that environment.
Just curious. I heard that there's some like catchphrase or code word you can say to like tech support workers that you're talking to on the phone.
Oh, really?
That means they'll cut through all the bullshit of like, you know, first turn on your computer, then put your hand on the mouse, like all the step-by-step stuff that you already know how to do.
Yeah.
It's like this code word that allows you to say like, I know what I'm doing. Just help me with the thing that I can't figure out.
It's Topsy.
Is it?
Topsy.
Really?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. No, I forget. Anyways.
Topsy was the elephant that Edison killed.
Oh, right. Okay.
So finishing up Jamie C. Miller.
Yes.
What I'd probably like more is if we had more bike stores to match more bike styles, a store that for the gearheads, racers, trail riders, the transportation utility cycles, or one of the fashion, or one for the fashion plates. So everyone could go in using the jargon that they're comfortable with. I think the women's stores offer both a curated experience and a chance at something more jargon-free.
That's interesting. I think in Portland we're starting to get that because there are so many shops here in town. Yeah, like there are the cargo bike shops, there are the racing bike shops, and but I know not every town is so fortunate.
No.
So. That would be very nice. And I'm all for expanding the number of shops that cater specifically to women's needs and make it easier for them to avoid all the bullshit.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hey, that was a good show.
We've
anything else we need to say?
End of all things. I can't think of anything clever to say at this point.
Well, you know what I got?
You don't have mail.
No, I don't. I have a palindrome. T. Eliot, top bard, notes putrid tang emanating, is sad. I decided a name, Nat Dirt, upset on drab pot toilet. That's
holy
palindrome.
Shit.
Yep, yep.
That was pretty long.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Wow.
Tuna roll or a nut?
Tuna roll, please.
That's a palindrome.
Oh.
Tons o' snot.
I thought you were offering me dinner.
Too bad I hid a boot. And also, too far, Edna, we wander afoot.
No,
we gotta stop this.
No,
okay.
We gotta end this show before more palindromes get thrown out. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call and leave us a message or text us at 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Thanks to Herbird for our headline sounder. And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katharina Melamgard, Roger Grigsby, and Wayne Norman. Thank you all very much for listening.
That's right. Cheers.
Go to bed.
Was it a bar or a bat I saw?
No!
Was it a car or a cat I saw?
We ended the show!
Was it Elliot's toilet I saw? We panic in a pew. Wet sanitary rat in a stew. Whoa, Nemo, toss me a lasso. No, no. Couldn't get that one. Wonton? Not now. No, sir. Away. A papaya war is on. A Sprocket Studios production.